Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, you didn't ask, but I'm sitting here thinking, as always, how best to start the conversation with Sal.
I have an idea.
Okay, I came up with one, but what's yours? Maybe it's better.
Mine is, Sal, were you mad at Aaron Boone for taking Freed out when he did last night?
That was not mine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was mad, but I also, like, I mean, there's a point where you understand, like, I don't want him to throw 130 or 40 pitches, I guess, right? Because, honestly, at some point, they start hitting him. You're like, why did he keep him in? He's throwing so many pitches. And right. I don't want to be that guy, right? So I get it. 100 pitches a lot, but he was still pitching well. It was in the seventh inning. He started that inning. It was just over 100. It wasn't like super duper high, but I know that, you know, these days. So yes, I was upset about it. I was more upset that they just could not get runs when they had, well, I shouldn't say that. I was also upset when they couldn't get runs, but yes, I was upset about it at that point. I thought that he should have stayed in it, at least finished that inning.
Makes it even maybe a little worse. I mean, I don't want to tell you how you should have felt, but that the Red Sox went with Crochet as long as they did.
100%.
117 pitches. Yep. Like the, I don't know. I was not expecting him to go out for the eighth. When he went in the dugout after the seventh, I thought, like, all right, you got the other guy in there, but, you know, he went in there, got two outs, and brought in the other lefty out of the pen, and it worked out. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Way to flick Sal in the back of the ear to start the conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really.
I've been dealing with it all today. I got it from Joe and Jeremy this morning. I got it from Zach, an Extra Point Show. I get it from you. It's okay. That's the life we live. It's okay.
Look, I'm wearing my Red Sox cap for a second day in a row, and they're in a playoff series. So yeah, man, I gotta lead off with the Yankees.
I did not know that until I heard this morning, and I guess it's the 14 different playoff series, the wild card series like this. The team that lost the first game has never come back and won the series yet.
Well, you know, history is meant to be, rewritten or something. But, you know, Bulldogs starting with the Yankees. Hey, I got an idea. Were you mad at Aaron Boone? Like, it reminds me of a kid I knew in college who was a Giants fan. And I came home to watch Super Bowl 25 with my friends and family. And for some reason, he had my phone number. And when the Bills lost, immediately the phone rang. And it was Sean. It was this kid who was like, did you guys enjoy the game? Like, you know, that Bulldog didn't quite go that far, but, you know, that is such a jerk move to do that. I've never forgotten him because of that. No, that's fine. It's good. We're off and running. My idea was, so Wednesday, injury report, what's different today? Jackson Hawes is on it, and I wanted to talk about him. And I almost think every conversation should start with him for a while because, like, here's this fifth-round pick who is, I mean, absolutely making waves. Catching a couple passes, but the blocking, Twitter these days where you can watch just clips of guys everywhere around the league. I mean, he's a sight to see. So what have we got here in terms of an injury? And then I want to ask you a couple more things maybe about him.
Well, he's listed with an ankle injury, limited. And I have to be honest with you guys, like first of all, we didn't know that going into practice
because
Sean McDermott didn't list him. He did say several players will be limited. And he didn't mention anybody specifically, so I guess that's why, because he actually didn't even mention Raul Milano or Oliver. I mean, I guess he did, but like we had to kind of say, like, somebody followed up. I think Matt Bovey is like, hey, just to kind of clarify, Raul Milano and Oliver will be doing something today, right? And he's like, yeah, they'll be limited. So it kind of left it open-ended. That being said, I actually saw him in the locker room after practice and just kind of walked by him and didn't talk to him very much. We said hello to each other, I could tell you that, but it wasn't like anything I noticed going on with him. So my sense is that it's just he's limited today and we'll see where it goes throughout the week and hopefully everything's okay. But that was even after practice when I saw him. So that's on the injury, and he joined Brown and Milano and Oliver as limited today. Dorian Williams did not practice with what they say is a knee injury.
Jackson Hawes, Highland High School in Salt Lake City. Haloti Ngata went to the same high school. He's from Utah. We've heard now how, who was it, Aaron Cromer or someone else said like he was the best blocking tight end they've ever scouted. It's a fifth round pick. I wonder, and you know, this kind of thing grows if the player grows in stature, but like, I don't know, just to get the question out, did everybody go to bed Friday night at the draft, you know, dreaming that he would be on the board when it was their pick? Like, to what extent were the Bills like sort of ready to pick this player? Almost no pass receiving production at all as a college player, but they liked what they knew about him, what they saw in him, and I just sort of wonder how deep it ran.
So I think it's a really good question. I don't know like the intricacies, and we could find that out, and I could, of like how deep it ran, as you put it, but I would tell you this. First of all, it was Aaron Cromer who said, what he said was, he's the best blocking tight end he's ever coached. And then Joe Brady said, he's the best blocking tight end we've ever scouted.
Okay, good.
So two different things there,
yes.
Because two guys from two different positions, right? And where their careers have taken them. I would tell you that from the outside looking in, without knowing the exact answer to your question, I think the Bills absolutely wanted to add a blocking tight end to this offense. And maybe they don't get one to the draft, so they find one in free agency they like. I think the Bills really believed after last year, six offensive linemen, Alec Anderson. We talked about this immediately after the draft. And whereas they're using Alec Anderson as that sixth offensive lineman, they led the league in that last year. I think the Bills went into this offseason and said, hey, instead of doing that, why don't we grab a tight end who can do it? Then we can actually throw him the ball. And they find their way to this guy. So when you draft him in the fifth round, you say those things. I'm pretty sure they really liked him a lot, wanted him. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be there, and you know, you still have to do the value on him. Are you going to take him in the second round? No. So you take him, you know, there because he's a guy that you want that spot. You want a guy who you can rely on to be that 13 personnel, third tight end, come in. And when he was drafted even, we were told, hey, he's got – like, he can actually catch some passes. Like, he's not this guy that's just going to sit there – like, I'm not, they didn't say this. I'll say this. He's not Lee Smith to me, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
Well, that's, you know, yeah. I don't think I said it at the time, right? But, because there was so, you know, so much about the draft and it was so much defense.
Yeah.
But in my head, I'm sure I thought, they just drafted Lee Smith in the fifth round. What are we doing?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Which, like, I don't need to admit that I thought that, but I'm sure I thought it. Like, what are we doing here? I drafted a blocking sled?
Because he was portrayed like that by everybody.
Yeah.
And you look at the stats and it goes, but then you watch him. And this is the thing that we don't get to see totally, right? We do with some of the higher picks. I mean, I didn't know about a tight end out of Yale that went to Georgia Tech after his 4 years. And, you know, this is the stuff that we don't see. Like, they see the athleticism. They're scouting. They're watching and going, this guy's actually a good athlete. He can play. Like, we can put him on the field. We can throw him a pass. Mm-hmm. And then once he comes to rookie camp, I remember this, though, guys. I remember going to rookie camp. And because it's rookie camp, he's like the only tight end out there, right? Dalton can't be out there and Dawson. Maybe there was somebody else. It wasn't really the only one.
Yeah.
But he's the only one really making the rosters. You know what they did? They threw him a bunch of passes because he's like, we got to get this guy going because he's the only guy out here. It's his only time to catch passes. And he was catching passes. And I'm like, you know, he can actually catch some passes. He can run some routes. Maybe they got a little more here. And I think the Bills recognize that a little bit more as well. So, you know, now he fits into the offense even more. He fits in where he can actually catch some passes and he can pose a little bit more of a threat. If he's on the field, you think, okay, he's going to block, but all of a sudden he leaks out, he sneaks out, and you get what you get against New Orleans, which is one target, one catch, but that went for, you know, 20-plus yards, which is really nice.
So summing it all up, I mean, not only is he kind of a fun story and the background is interesting, the role is interesting, but the bottom line here is I think, you know, maybe not as important as any other player on the offense, but he's up there, right? I mean, this is an important role that they sought out and found like maybe the perfect guy for. Here's Alec Anderson, but he can catch. And we can do so many more things out of our stuff with him on the field. You know, they're using fullbacks with him too sometimes, or fullbacks with multiple tight ends. And they're just sort of furthering what they were good at last year. And so far, so good.
Yeah, they actually have, I think they've run more 13 than any team in the league, but they haven't run as much 12 this year, 12 personnel, two tight ends. It's either 13 or they actually run 11, one tight end on the field, one running back, one tight end. And they're very good, according to the analytics, at running, believe it or not, with only one tight end on the field. So I guess to me, it doesn't have to be about what's one or the other. It's they just have options. They can really do a lot of different things, which is what they've always wanted. I remember going back to, heck, Ken Dorsey, you know, being the offensive coordinator, and really them always talking about just wanting to have options to dictate what the defense has to do and put the defense in a bind. And maybe they didn't get there quite enough. And then they draft Dalton Kincaid, and it doesn't quite get there the way they want it to. And now I really see you're thinking the full vision of what they've wanted from this offense when it comes to personnel groupings. And just saying, we can throw a lot of different groupings at you, and you're going to have to respond. And due to that response, we're going to be able to do some things that we like, because we're not afraid to throw it to those guys, and we're certainly not afraid to run it with those guys.
You know, I'm not sure how much this is to even say, but because we're not going to find an answer to it for maybe a long time. It's more like an off-season quest, I think. Just how much of a sweat it was on Saturday at the draft. Like, how early were they thinking, maybe we better, was it the fourth round? Pick by pick coming off the board, like how if this was a guy they really had targeted for this very specific role that he's walked right into as a rookie and is flourishing, like that's rare for a Saturday pick to be that guy. And I wonder if they were tempted to rush it. Maybe they even did. Maybe they had seventh round grade on him and just went like, yeah, we got to do it now because I'm worried about whomever like getting smart to this.
That's what's so interesting to me about this player, because it might be that. And I don't know where you exactly go to determine this, but maybe most teams would not have had him on their board at all. Like somebody that plays this role, why do we need this? Passing league and everything like that.
You find this guy on the street.
16 kind of thing, total right? catches in college. Right. Like he's their UDFA. And so that would be my guess, is that the Bills, by the fifth round, they're like, the fourth round, we're not worried about this. Or even Friday, we're not worried about getting sniped on Jackson Hawes. But fifth round, like, you know what? We have a pretty good team here. If we like them, let's do it. And it wasn't, how could you blame them? Even if it was supposed to be, you never know with drafts when he was supposed to go. So anyway, I love that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting puzzle too, because blocking tight end, can you justify taking the second or third round? No. Generally, though, those are guys that you want to make an impact more quickly. And what we've seen, that hasn't happened, one, due to injury, obviously, but we've talked a lot about Landon Jackson, even TJ Sanders. The Bills just have this roster, though, where it's tough for guys to do that. It just is. It's tough for guys to come in as second and third round picks and make impacts right away on a roster that's pretty deep and good and contending for a Super Bowl. It's just the reality of it. As much as people want to see it, I get it, but that's not the case. But here's a specific player, specific role that you get in the fifth round that actually can come in and make an impact. And you're not drafting for depth. You're drafting for literally a specific role, but yet his role only requires him to have a late round pick on him. So it's fascinating, and I agree with you.
By the way, Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, who will be on our show tomorrow, points out that the Bills have run 22 personnel. So Gilliam probably, right?
Right, half-back, two backs, yeah, right.
14% of their snaps, 33 snaps this year have been.
And by the way, they've run all three tight ends and Gilliam at the same time on the field. Like you think about that, right? And
that is jumbo.
I mean, that is really right.
And we're going to need some more digits for that.
And you can throw out of that too, which is kind of crazy, right? And that's kind of what the Bills have wanted to do, which is just basically say you have no idea what's coming right now.
It really is something that we're a month in here, and seeing his name show up on the injury report, it's like, oh, I hope he's okay. Like a month ago, I would not have given him the time of day. Honestly, I'm just being real here. Is not someone, despite all this, we talked about this at the draft and what you thought their plan was for him, and you couldn't have been more right, as it turns out. But even still, it's just like, whatever. And now a month in, like, man, I hope he's okay.
I think. I'm already looking ahead to the Monday morning after next year's draft, and the Bills will have scored their 30 points a game again. and they'll have let Elijah Moore go. No targets on Sunday. They'll have let, you know, one or two other receivers go, not signed anybody, not drafted any. And then, you know, the morning guys are talking, and there's Brandon Bean on the hotline. You guys want to do this again? I mean, just 30 points a game? Three? What do you want now? Want to see four? Want to see four tight ends? Because I'll do it. You know, anyway, we'll see what happens. You got to look at practice today, Oliver and Milano, both on the field.
Yeah, both out there at practice today. Didn't seem like, I don't know, I think Ed might have had a little wrap on it. Like no brace or anything like that, you know, right. On his ankle. And he was working on the field with a regular blue practice jersey. Same thing with Matt Milano, and he was moving well. Now, remember, Milano's, it's a pack, right? So whether he's got something there, you can't really tell necessarily under the pads, but there was nothing inhibiting him. In fact, I used to have video of him attacking a bag and tackling a bag, so that was good as well. That seemed good. And then Spencer Brown was practicing today as well. So really all three of their starters who've been banged up are back. Now that doesn't mean they're going to be playing. We did talk to Ed Oliver after practice and he kind of didn't give us a clue on it. And we're just asking him, you know, how do you, what'd you think and what happened and all that. And he's, it is what it is. It is what it is. It's football. And then someone actually specifically did say like, what happened? And he said, well, what were you guys told? Is what he said, basically.
Let's get our story straight.
He got stepped on. He's like, I got stepped on. That's right. I got stepped on. So, yeah, he said he got stepped on. He said it's football. Things like that happen. You know, frustrating for him. And he felt he played really well against Baltimore. And I agree, obviously. And because I think it showed. And, you know, this play, he was one of the better players on the field that night. And, you know, I think he was really just kind of frustrated. He wasn't able to pick up right where he left off the next week. But guys, there's no guarantee he's going to play this week either. I just think even talking to him, like, we'll see where it goes day by day, one day at a time. I think Milano might be a little different there. I would say, though, Milano would be, if he's going to play, he's probably in the field a lot, where Oliver's going to be in a rotation. So there's probably a lot of decisions to be made there.
No Dorian Williams, maybe?
No Dorian Williams, and that might, you know, maybe that's where, okay, well, is Matt good? Then he can play, and, you know, you don't have his backup, but honestly, at this point, I think Shaq Thompson could very well be the main backup to Matt Milano. And I mean, Dorian was, until he got hurt a little bit, came out of the game late on Sunday. But I really think that Shaq Thompson's played a valuable role for this team. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they go into this game, it's Milano and it's Thompson. And I think Shaq Thompson has earned and shown that he can be on the field and they can trust him. And no, why not? But even at his older age here, that he's making some impactful plays.
McDermott made a comment yesterday, sorry, Bulldog, that like that sounded like he was really fond of Thompson. Like this is a guy that they really wanted here. Another one.
Well, first round pick when he was in Carolina, right? I mean, Sean. So Sean has a very long history and successful history with this player. Knows him intimately, knows him very well. Guy that they wanted to bring in, I think, to look, this is again the response to what offenses are doing going back to the Bills. Teams are having to figure this out against the Bills on how to play their heavier personnel. But guys, teams are doing it against the Bills now. The Bills are seeing a lot more heavier personnel than they have in the past. I talked with Shaq about this after the game on Sunday, and I said, it seems as though teams are playing more heavier personnel against you guys. And now he wasn't here last year, right? But, you know, he said that's just a trend in the league and what teams are doing. And they're going a little heavier, and you got to be prepared for that. And I just think – so Jackson Hawes is a great example of how I think specifically they targeted a guy like Jackson Hawes to do that on offense. I think they specifically targeted Shaq Thompson to be able to have that response on defense, to be honest with you.
I feel like every time I noticed him Sunday, it was for a good reason.
Yeah, he brings a lot to the party, as they say, when he hits somebody. I mean, he makes a play, a hit, it seems like, in each game that gets his teammates energized and shows that he's there to play and he understands the position. He is a linebacker, right? This is kind of an old school linebacker in a new school NFL, and he plays it. He is a tweener. That's what he is. He was kind of a safety linebacker when he came into the league, big nickel safety, and he's not as much of a safety anymore. He's a little bit older, but he's still a really good athlete. He knows all three linebacker. That's what allows him to play all three linebacker positions. He can go sideline to sideline. He can go downhill. I don't know if you want him necessarily right now playing, you know, full 60, 70 plays in a game, but he could do it if you asked him to.
I'm not sure there's enough time left or any interest on your part, Sal, to play our game today of
your
perfect AFC playoff bracket for the with the Bills in mind, like what the Bills would draw up, you know, secretly to have be, which also realistic. And, you know, if you want to do this just for fun and share with us, you can. I think maybe one, looking at the AFC right now, one wish from Bills fans, if not the Bills too, would be to bury the Ravens. You know, last week Ravens, Chiefs, what do you want? You sort of go back and forth. But now they're at three losses and without Lamar Jackson and so many injuries, and they'll get Jackson back. They'll get some of those guys back. And if they get in, they're, I would think, very live. So maybe you just want to see them pile up losses.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that if you want, I don't know if you guys even think this is realistic at this point, to be honest with you, but I'm thinking about like the Bills, you know, if they get in as the top seed, or even let's say they're number two and they have to face somebody at home, a Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals, right, would be probably something. I know they have a lot of other talent, but their defense isn't very good. Now, I don't even know if you think that's realistic at this point, to be,
he'll be
honest
back.
With you.
I think he'll be
right,
back.
Right, but that's the other thing. If he comes back 3 months, but it's a minimum 3 months. Is he actually ready to play at that point? I don't know.
That like, team looks so finished on Monday night. I mean, they just look like they know they ain't got it, and they're not going to make it out without Burrow. And so we'll see. That's a lot. That's a lot to say. I mean, it's just one game, but they look like they're toast.
But can you find seven good teams in the AFC? Can you find enough to Sal's point, maybe just like rule out the Bengals? Maybe you can. You know,
somebody's got to win the South, right?
Right.
And okay. And I shouldn't say that because Indy has looked good. They have looked good. But would you really be deathly scared of the Colts coming here for a playoff game right now? I mean, they have done some nice things. They look good and they can run the football, but that just does not seem to me to be like a threatening position to be in versus a lot of other teams. The Chargers are always this team. We're always doing this with the Chargers, but then they go into New York and look, it's not just their tackles. Yes, that's a big part of it. But it just seems like they're not a team that's going to run away from you ever. So, you know, you're always going to have, they have less margin for error, I think, because they can't run away from you. And it might be because of the tackles, but Justin Herbert's like completion percentage was terrible on Sunday against the Giants. So
Their tackles are both hurt.
Yeah. How long is Alt? I mean, Slater's out for the year. Is Alt like
weeks? I think a couple weeks.
Okay.
Not great.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
That's our dude, Sal Capaccio, on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Play with it. How would you dream up the AFC playoffs? 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We'll look for your calls again next. This is WG.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2-2 pitch, hit in the air and right. Back by the wall, Perez. Hellions gone. What has gotten into these Cleveland Guardians? Barnett, a three-run homer.
Sean McDonough, Bo Naylor for Cleveland. You can't hear a word, right? Like this often happens. You can't make out a word of the broadcast anymore. It's just. And his voice has a way of sort of meeting the pitch of the crowd. Like he has to, his voice will crack because he wants to be above the crowd, which I don't understand. Like why, like the great announcers never needed to do that. They have microphones and like just turn it up. I don't need to yell. But like Chris Fowler is always yelling and McDonough is always yelling, which, you know, I get it. You have to have energy, but you can't even hear him. Like just, I don't know. If I were he, I would probably blame someone else. For that. But Cleveland wins, so that series is 1-1. It's also 1-1 here, or did the Cubs not score? I don't think they scored.
I don't think they did score. I think it's still 1-0 Padres here. What do we got? Top five.
Top five. The Padres took Dylan Cease out in the fourth to get lefty-lefty against Pete Crow Armstrong, which is interesting. Like Cease, like they probably wanted him to go long in this game. But they can also use him tomorrow now, I guess. I'm thinking that might be what they told him when they pulled him in the fourth, up 1-0 and 2 on. But it worked out. I'm the manager of the Padres, by the way.
Oh, wow, cool.
Mike Schilt.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's also me. Because if you say it like that, you don't even really know what you're saying. You're saying Mike Schilt.
Oh, okay, sure. You mentioned that yesterday, and I didn't know if you thought there was a resemblance or what was going on.
I mean,
it's great.
Gray hair and glasses.
He's got a Mike cap on. He's not wearing a visor. I don't know.
Maybe he does in sort of. He's not allowed to in this.
Right.
Maybe he does in regular life. Maybe he wears a visor. I listen to audiobooks, podcasts to fall asleep, and sometimes I don't remember to put the clock on. So I'll wake up hours later and it'll still be going. Or a different one that my phone thinks I would like will still be going. And I've listened to the same 10 books and podcasts because only certain, I don't want to listen to one that I've not heard yet because I'm going to fall asleep. So I pick the same 10 or so shows and books to fall asleep to. And I'm feeling like I'm probably on somebody's list. Like, why am I listening to Fiasco Benghazi every night or something? Like, why is it always Leon Nafok? What is this guy? Is this guy a psycho? Who is this guy out there? Because you know you're being sort of tracked. And so somehow I found a podcast which is all like retro sports games.
They're giving you like the audio of famous games?
Not even famous games.
Just old games.
Almost random games.
Okay, wow.
The other day it was a 1972 Yankees game. Yankees radio broadcast. Messer, White, Rizzuto.
All right.
Who, by the way, were a great team. And part of that, I think, is because they all sound different.
That's important.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
So these are what I'm listening to. And there was one last night from 1950, which was Red Barber. And he's responsible, real quick, he's responsible for weaving in commercials for Post cereal. Like, and somebody hit a home run and is like, oh, that's a case of Sugar Crisp. Like, I didn't know it was so.
Right.
Like, I thought maybe like on the, like, you know, when the inning's over, you'd have Red Barber talking about cereal.
Yeah, it feels like, I think we act like all the commercials we do during postgame, for example, the different reads and all the sponsored stuff, or, you know, really anything, is like, that's a new phenomenon, right? Like every,
right.
Like there's 4 minutes left in the game. It's brought to you by Verizon. Like that kind of stuff happens all the time in sports now. But hear it happening in 1950 with Red Barber is pretty sweet, like in the flow of the game.
I know. It's so rampant and it's super annoying if you're paying attention. Like the Yankees, I listened to the Yankee broadcast last night for a bit, and the cleanup hitter is sponsored by a cleaning service.
Wow, yeah.
You know, the cleanup hitter is brought to you by... No, the cleanup hitter exists in every game. Nobody's bringing that to me. Baseball is bringing that to me, not Joe Cleaning Service.
Right.
But, you know, that's what they do. But, yeah, that's exactly 1950.
Right, it was there.
Yeah. It was so there. The Sugar Crisp home run.
I love it.
Chris is with us. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you? I enjoy the show.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. My first thing is just to put something on your betting board, possibly. There is a parlay for the remainder of the season. Will the Bills benefit from a roughing the punter penalty in the fourth quarter
again,
and get an interception to help them win? So I think that would be interesting. But the other one is Greg Rousseau. So Greg Rousseau signs a huge contract in March, big money. Looked at his stats from last year. I think he had 53 total tackles and 8 sacks in the regular season. And right now he's on pace to have 32 total tackles and 2 sacks. So I don't know him personally, but sometimes I worry in sports when you get that big contract, do you lose motivation to perform? And I hope that's not the case. I mean, it's 4 games. But, you know, I'm just a little concerned about Groot.
I think your concern about his performance is correct. I guess I share your concern. I also don't know him. I don't like assuming that a guy is just, you know what, not working as hard, not trying as hard, doesn't care as much because he got the big bag of cash. I know, I'm sure it has happened. I'm sure we've watched it happen with guys on teams we love. But I never want to assume that it's happening. He's underperforming. I have very infrequently noticed him in these games. I just don't think he's doing. I don't think he's doing a lot. He might have a. He might be beating his guy enough to have a respectable pass rush win rate or something. I don't know, but I just don't. To me, he's a ghost. If you told me, hey, I just found out Greg Rousseau didn't play in those games, I'd go, that checks out. Like really, I watch closely. I mean, it's my job. I just don't think I'm getting much there right now. So that's something that I think needs to get off the ground here. He didn't get a crazy he got a big extension from the Bills, but he did not get like a market rate defensive end free agent to be contract. I mean, he's it's a lot of money, but it's not like he's not at the top of the class or anything, or even near it really. I think he's around 20. Which guys that get the top are, there's a lot of room between the top 40-ish and down to him. So he got paid. He needs to do more, I'd say. Their pass rush in general, I think, needs to do more.
For me, sacks are a quarterback stat, and they're not in games where they're way ahead. I'm not sure how many of his, what did the caller say, 8 sacks last year came with leads or even big leads.
I think 3, if not 3.5 of them came in one game, like the first game of the year.
Well, there's that too. I mean, there's a lot of randomness in that. And this is just to add to the conversation. Not everybody swears by the PFF grades, but you're familiar with Nick Benito of Denver?
Mm-hmm.
So did I see today that he has 6 pressures in every game so far? Like this guy has become, I think everybody's on board with Nick Benito as like a star edge rusher, 19th among edge rushers in PFF. Rousseau is 17th. By PFF, he's doing just fine.
That's why I said the
just
thing about
stats.
That's why I said his win rate might be good, but I just don't. I feel like maybe I'm guilty of the new guy catching my attention, but I feel like I see Bosa threatening the backfield a lot more than I see Rousseau threatening the backfield.
Bosa is 7th, by the way. And Rousseau is 6th in rush defense, which is not something you're going to see in those stats either. Tackles, I guess, sometimes, but
yeah,
I'm not worried. Thanks, Chris. Here's Bill next. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, stop me if I'm wrong or you already talked about this, but James Cook with the smelling salt, you could tell when he runs every single time because he'll be lined up, sniffing the salt, throws it to the side, it hits the ground, and he gets the ball. I noticed it 2 games ago, but then last game especially, go back and look at each drive. I mean, I'm sure they noticed it or someone talked to them about it. If not, it should be talked about.
What is this now? Is he using that on the field, or is he on the sideline using it?
On the field. No, yeah. On the field. It'll be lined up behind Josh, and you can tell if he's going to get the ball or not, because he'll take that smelling salt, the little white thing, smell it, drop it to the side, and off he goes.
Ooh, I have not noticed
that. I have not noticed it. Zach is nodding along with Bill, the caller here. I have not noticed that.
Take a look at it. It's almost every single time.
If I remember on Sunday, I will look for it. But I have never thought of that before.
No.
The smelling salt thing is what? Teams can't sanction them or even provide them, but players can use them.
Can still use them. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, there was a rule earlier in the summer that, the teams were no longer going to be allowed to just have them in the locker room for the guys.
That's how we are with beer. No longer does work give us beer to drink during the show. But if we bring our own.
Those were the days.
Oh, those were the days where there would just be a keg sitting in the corner. Is that something I can't even joke about? Am I in trouble even for making that joke? It's not true.
While
I think maybe if I were old, like as old as you and I are at this, I feel like our predecessors probably did have that.
I think that's probably right. There used to be... People used to tell stories about Rick Jeanneret having beers during the games in the press box at the Odd, way, way back. I don't know when that stopped.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But I know, unless that's just, myth or something, but because I never saw it myself, I think it would have predated my being in the press box in the 90s. It was a very different world. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel like all the great announcers were maybe buzzed, to be kind. Summerall?
Right.
Like, isn't that there's sort of the legend of Summerall?
There had to be a rocks glass right there.
Koschel?
Off camera. Like, there's no question about
Koschel
that.
Koschel was, like, famously visibly or audibly drunk. And there's clips of this where you just know.
Yep.
There's one of him in Philadelphia, like, whatever, coming out of halftime or something, where he's just slurring his words and it's like, oh, my God. But maybe we didn't care 50 years ago. Maybe we liked that. I don't know. Here I am starting the segment complaining that I can't hear Sean McDonough because he's the same pitch as the crowd. And yet, well, maybe we could hear Koschel probably. He was just drunk. Maybe we liked that. Even if the words were slurred, you could at least tell it was him talking.
Right.
You knew he was talking. no laughing matter. Machado homered?
Yeah, two-run shot, 3-0 Padres.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Are you on them? I'm on them.
No,
again.
No.
Here we go.
I hopped on the Cubs when they were losing 1-0.
Oh, here we go.
So
I wish I hadn't thought of it. I was so annoyed yesterday.
Yeah.
I cashed out on the Padres, which was good, and you secretly bet them at this exactly when I did that.
I love secretly.
Well, you didn't. You didn't want me to know.
I didn't even think about you. I just did it. I really was not thinking, oh, Mike cashed out, let me bet them. I opened the app and I liked the number and I bet it. I really didn't think I was doing you any harm.
Did you have Boston? I had Boston.
Yeah, I had Boston, but I needed a
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I needed a thing.
You can never
just
win on one.
No, I can't. I don't want to win $12.
That was my yearbook quote. I have that Reds World Series ticket.
I'd rather lose 10 than win 12. I think that's my betting
motto.
I'd rather lose 10
than win 12. That's so good.
That's my betting
wait till Sam on Friday. Tell him that.
Oh, they know.
They do know.
They know.
They do know. Bet sweats. Davis Maddock was on this morning. You can check that out on the Odyssey app. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after this here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.